fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day that I have spoken to thee, from the day of Josiah even unto this day. So Jeremiah is told to write a book, or a series of scrolls, or leaves of scrolls, would probably be a better thought that in there. And we read the time of this was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. If we go back into history, we have read this many times, I'm just going to refresh our mind a little bit on it. At the end of Jehoiakim's third year, Nebuchadnezzar brought an army down against Jerusalem and took it in the year, end of the fifth year, or maybe at the close, it could have been at this beginning of the sixth year, don't know exactly the time there, but he carried the captivity of Jehoiakim, and then after a while, Jehoiakim returned in that same year that he was taken, and then for 3 years, he served under tributary to Nebuchadnezzar. And during that time, he withheld some of the tribute money, and then Nebuchadnezzar came down again. This was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim that Jeremiah was told to write a book. The scrolls would be against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations from the day that I spake unto thee, dating all the way back unto Josiah, even till the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So all of that time, they would, the word of the Lord. Now, it isn't that it hadn't been done. It wasn't that there wasn't any writings. But I think this simply applies that these writings weren't put together in any kind of an order. And we can sure tell that as we read the book of Jeremiah. So whether this is a part of this or whether it's a different book altogether, it seems to me like it may have been a different book altogether than what we have, because it concentrated simply on against things. Notice all of these are against your Israel and Judah and the nation. And it may be, there is a possibility, you see, this is another chance that they had. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquities and their sins. And Jeremiah called Barshup, the son of Neriah, Barshup wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll. Now, this would be quite a chore, I think, to do that. And God must have had to, you know, given him a special ability. They didn't even have shorthand back in that day, much less tape recorders and things. So this took some time to prepare the scrolls, but they were willing to work at it, and he just listened to Jeremiah speak and wrote it down in this special form. And Jeremiah commanded Barshup, saying, Baruch, I might say this about, I can get different Bibles and they'll have different markings called pronunciations. I don't know how they really pronounced it back in that day. But commanded him, saying, I am shut up and cannot go unto the house of the Lord. Now this does not mean that he was in prison. We have no record of Jeremiah ever being in prison under Jehoiakim. There was some other reason, some other hindrance that he couldn't go into the house of the Lord. Maybe they wouldn't let him because he had been prophesying. There's a lot of things that would keep, if he'd have touched a dead body, he couldn't have gone. So whatever it was, he couldn't go into the house of the Lord with this, so he had to get Baruch to do this for him. In verse 6, therefore, go thou and read the scroll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt reap them in the ears of Judah that come out of their cities. Now, this made Judah even more responsible. Although what he said was against Israel, but Israel wasn't there to hear. What he had to say was against the nations, but the nations wasn't there to hear. And hearing the word makes us responsible for actions of the word. Not that ignorance is a reason not to live for the Lord and in what we're saying, but people that know are held responsible for what they know. And so Judah was the ones that were able to hear what was going on. I might make mention of this too while we're here, is Baruch. His name means a blessed one, and truly he is, to be able to tell all these things that God wanted told. This was a fast day, we read in these verses, and I don't know what fast this is. The scripture doesn't give a fast for the ninth month that I could find anywhere. So evidently this was a fast that they had called, a people's fast. Notice on down further we make mention of the fast again in verse 9. I guess it was, it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the king of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people, as though it was the people, and to all the people that came from the cities. It was for their sake they called this special day of fasting, as though it was a wish of the people, possibly like we read last week about the freeing of the slaves. They probably thought that this would help their problem if they would call a special fast. Well, he used this as a opportunity to read this scroll. You know, we use things for opportunities. It wasn't that Jeremiah or Baruch thought the fast was pleasing to God. I feel the same way about Christmas. To me, all it is a good opportunity to tell somebody that wouldn't listen any other time. To me, it's not the birth of Christ, or it doesn't have anything to do with it. But people are more religious at this time of year, and they'll listen. So they would listen more at a fast day than they would some other day. And so it was a good opportunity for him to read this article. And so he did. Verse 10, then read Baruch in the book of the word of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chambers of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. Now there's several things that we can see in verse 10, is the position where he was when he read the scroll. He was in the Lord's house, or in the temple, and in the chamber of the scribe, or the one who kept records of what went on in the Lord's house. And then we read in the higher court, or a higher level of the court, in the entry of a new gate. This would probably be the east gate of the temple. But all the people could hear. And this was an important thing, because up to now we only talked to the leaders. And the people only know what the leaders told them. Now all the people were able to hear what God was really saying to all the people. And so when Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the books all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house to the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, and Delaniah, the son of Shemaliah, and El Nathan, the son of Archbor, and Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Now, everyone that we read in verse 12 wasn't much for Jeremiah. All of them were against him in every way. and would have done anything they could to hurt him. Although at this time, they didn't know that this was his writings. So Malchiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. I was reading this earlier, and it came to my mind, well, why weren't they, all of these leaders, all these princes, why weren't they in the temple during the feast time? What were they doing down in the king's chamber, the king's house, not paying any attention to the things they should have been paying attention to up in the temple? They should have been, if they would have been honest with God, they would have been up there during this special call to fast. But they weren't. And besides that, if they had been up there praying, they would have heard all of this themselves. But instead, it sounded to me like they were kind of lazy. They wanted Baruch to come down and for it to where they were. And we see leaders like that today that is just simply lazy and really not on fire for the things of God at all. But one thing you can also see is that Baruch was obedient, wasn't he? And obedience is better than sacrifice. Good to be obedient. And so they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. All of this that should have already been read. Now it came to pass when they heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. Now, it wasn't that they were afraid of the words, and it wasn't that they were afraid of God. We read that later on in the same chapter. It was the fact that they were afraid of one another. And it's kind of pathetic. We kind of talking about that when we was eating lunch tonight, dinner tonight, that you get into a council in a meeting where nobody really wants to say what's on their mind because they're afraid what somebody else will think if they say the wrong thing. And this is just about what was going on here. So they was going to go to the king and find out what the king would say about all this without committing themselves in any way. So this was really the fear. It wasn't that they feared the word of God. And let's see, verse 17, I guess. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all of these words at his mouth? And Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words with me, with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. He had to kind of talk slow, didn't he? And it don't sound to me like they really believed him here either, as we read this. Then said the princes to Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you be. And we read down further, and they did a good job of it in verse 26. We read that God hid them. So nobody knew where they were. God was the one who did the hiding. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elisha, a scribe, and told all the words of the ears of the king. It seems to me as though they just didn't want the king to see the scroll. So they just wanted to tell him. You often wonder as you read this whether they told him what was really on it or what they wanted him to know. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the robe. He wanted to look at it himself. And he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. And the king sat in his winter house in the ninth month, and there was fire on the hearth burning before him. I don't know what the ninth month was. I did have a Jewish calendar, but I believe it's December. Is that what it says in December? Might tell us something else here. It kind of gets a little cold in Jerusalem in December. You wonder how the shepherds fed their sheep when the angels came in December. But here it looks like it, they had to have a fire in the fireplace in December. But it came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves out of this book. Now that doesn't mean pages like we have a book. These are big scrolls, big leaves. So there must have been a lot of them. He just read 3 or 4 of them. Then he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the rolls were consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. By the way, we might think about penknife. A penknife was used for sharpening your pens. You take the quill and you take your knife and keep it good and sharp so it'll write a finer line. And so the scribes always kept pen knives with them to keep their pen sharp. But we think about him taking this and cutting it up and throwing it in the fire. And I thought of what little respect these people had for the Word of God. And it isn't that this book in itself is any more than any other book. That isn't what we're saying. If I was to take and burn this book, I wouldn't be burning God. I think I would have more respect than to burn it. I don't think I could. I have some old Bibles laying around and I don't know what to do with them. You know, I don't want to throw them away because I do have respect for it. And they should have had that same respect for the things of God. Either it's the Word of God and truth or it is nothing at all. But they didn't have that. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments. See, it wasn't fear that was earlier. They didn't rent their garments, neither the king nor his servants that heard the word. They just were angry that something like this would be written. It went against all their reasoning and everything that they wanted. It just made them angry. Do you ever tell people the truth and they get angry at you because you told them the truth? Well, it will. It'll anger people. And nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. And then the king commanded Jeremiah and the son of Hammelech and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelaniah, the son of Abadiel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet to go take them into custody, the thought. But God had hid them. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll, and the word which Baruch wrote in the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll. You know, that doesn't defeat God if somebody burns the Bible, does it? Doesn't make God any less, his word any less powerful because somebody burns it. So he take another roll and write in it the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say unto Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why dost thou write therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall surely come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence bearded beast. So God hadn't changed. Just because it burdened a book didn't make any difference. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. He had a son, but his son was quite young at this time, not old enough to sit upon the throne. But God wasn't going to let this happen. And that his dead body shall be cast out in the day of the heat, and in the day and the night of the frost. And you think about this, they had no respect for the things of God. So why should God have respect for them? You see, it's a respectful thing to bury the dead and to weep over the dead. But God didn't have any respect for them either. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants from the iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it into Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And they were added besides unto them many like words. So burning it didn't do any good. They got another one with more words, probably more troubles. So they, like I say, they were definitely more responsible than anyone else.